content of this program is for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ricky Gibbs for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Reviews. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the News and Observer, NC Triangle Dining, a restaurant, food, and drink blog in Raleigh, Durham, Cary, and Chapel Hill, and the Triangle Food Blog, a hobby blog that helps locals keep up with the latest Triangle restaurant news. Up first, from the News and Observer, we have our winners. Here are the picks for top Eastern and Western Triangle breweries. This was published July 2nd and was written by Drew Jackson. The Triangle Brewery brackets came down to pioneers in the local beer scene versus trend-setting newcomers, and in this round, the newbies took it. The top brewery in the Western Triangle bracket, based on reader votes, is Durham's Barrel Culture Brewing and Blending. It took away from Haw River Brewing and collected 59% of the vote. In the Eastern Triangle, Fun Guys Brewing racked up 79% of votes to take the Raleigh Beer Crown from Linwood Brewing Concern. Barrel Culture. Founded by married couple Caroline and Ethan Barbie, Barrel Culture Brewing initially focused on mixing fermentation beers, the funky, tart, sour spectrum of ales that have exploded in popularity in recent years. Now, 5 years in, Barrel Culture has expanded its tap list and its footprint, going big on fruited sours and hazy IPAs, while adding a production facility in Rocky Mount and a second tap room in Raleigh. "We specialize in pushing the boundaries," Caroline Barbie said. "We really try to have a finger on the pulse of craft beer. We're making the beer people want to drink right now." The Barbies moved to Durham from Texas and opened a Barrel Culture in a secluded spot of RTP. At that point, the brewery was making only mixed fermentation and wild ales, particularly barrel-aged offerings. "We really started out small and niche, but have seen exponential growth," Barbie said. "We're tucked away in a wooded area of RTP, so this brings a lot of awareness to our company. It's really great." One of the boundaries Barrel Culture Brewing pushes is how exactly one can drink a beer. How about a soft serve cone? The beer, often something fruity, is simply poured into a special soft serve machine with a gel that stabilizes the hard to freeze alcohol and pours it straight into a cone or cup. "We usually use beers from our Heavy Jams series, which are heavily fruited and already sweet," Barbie said. "People go wild for it." Fun Guys Brewing. Off the bat, co-owner Nick Brango said Fun Guys might not be the brewery for everyone. He points to a long list of beers made by the Raleigh Brewery, almost all of which are a kind of New England-style hazy IPA. "It's almost as if Fun Guys put all its kegs in one basket, but that basket happens to be the most popular beer style in the country. We do very specific styles. We don't have a light lager. We don't have a wit beer. We don't have a wild wheat beer. We do have a few lagers," Brango said. "Our specialties are our smoothie sours and New England IPAs. We don't check a lot of boxes as a brewery." Fun Guys is married couple Nick and Carly Brango, who moved to Raleigh from Pennsylvania in 2018 to escape the cold. North Carolina was the southernmost state where the brewing laws matched the Brangos' ambitions. "We came down here knowing there weren't a lot of people doing New England-style IPAs in Raleigh," Brango said. "We figured if we did the right thing long enough, people would find us." Despite the legions of fans picking Fun Guys as their favorite, the brewery remains a slim operation. Carly Brango handles sales and distributions. Nick writes the recipes and brews the beer. Brango said that Fun Guys can put such a huge emphasis on hazy IPAs because of the seasonal whims and variety of hops. "Just like any crop, some years are good for certain hops and some years are lousy," Brango said. "The constant exploration of combinations and single flavors means the thirst for IPAs remains endless." In taking the Eastern Triangle Beer Crown, Brango said Fun Guys' fans want greater recognition of the still small brewery. We had people come in this week saying they voted for us, and others saying they stopped in after seeing us in the bracket, Brango said. It just speaks to how much support we get from our regulars. They want to see us compared to Burial in Asheville and The Vale in Richmond. It speaks to our fans and how much they want to see us succeed. Continuing from the News and Observer, popular transfer company Eatery will depart Raleigh Food Hall for a new headquarters. This was published July 5th and written by Drew Jackson. Transfer company Food Hall is losing one of its cornerstone tenants. Local Seafood announced Thursday that it will close its restaurant location in the Food Hall at the end of July. The move comes as locals plans to build a new headquarters in East Raleigh. The Raleigh Seafood Company made high-quality local seafood from coastal North Carolina more accessible when it opened in 2010, selling shrimp, then oysters, and a wide variety of fish from state's waters. The move will bring local seafood to customers in Northeast Raleigh and Knightdale. We're excited to have a permanent home for our company in Raleigh, Locals co-founder Lynn Peterson said in a release. The new Locals headquarters will open off of Newbern Avenue, just outside the Beltline, but Peterson declined to share the specific address. The market will open in an existing building as early as this fall. Fry Shack coming in spring. Raleigh architect Provision Studio, which also worked on Transfer Company and Union Station, will design the new Locals headquarters. A fry shack with picnic tables is planned for spring 2023, Peterson said. The Transfer Company location, named Locals Oyster Bar, was the company's first foray into a restaurant of its own, serving a variety of raw oysters, clams, fried fish sandwiches, and other North Carolina seafood. Under Chef Eric Montaigne, the Locals Oyster Bar offered new presentations of North Carolina seafood, including a tuna bloodline burger and an ambitious fish charcuterie program. In 2020, Locals opened a second oyster bar in the Durham Food Hall. That location will remain open, the company said. First exit for transfer. Locals' departure marks the first tenant to leave the popular Raleigh Food Hall. Peterson said Locals had reached an option in its lease and exits on good terms with the food hall. We wish those guys nothing but the best, Peterson said. The transfer Locals Oyster Bar was one of the food hall's largest tenants, building a raw bar and dining room in the patio side corner of the building. But Peterson said the impact of the pandemic and diners' use of space led to the changes. The Raleigh Locals was initially opened with a fish market, but eventually discontinued as food hall guests mainly came for dinner and drinks, not groceries. It's a large restaurant with a large bar and requires a lot of coverage, Peterson said in a phone interview. The space was designed pre-pandemic. We learned a lot there. At the headquarters, Locals will cut and sell fresh and frozen fish, as well as shellfish and prepared foods like smoked fish dip and smoked shrimp sausage. Our mission is to expand access to local seafood, said Ryan Speckman, Locals co-founder, in a release. We want to continue educating our guests on topics such as seafood seasonality, utilization, and sustainability. This location gives us a unique opportunity to bring local seafood to an area of Raleigh that has very little access. Next, from NC Triangle Dining, a Verde Cucina and Tequila Library offering up fruity cocktails and fanciful food presentation. This is published June 12th and written by Ron Nguyen. A Verde Cucina is located at 2300 Walnut Street in Cary, and their phone number is 984-200-3469. If you're a foodie in the Raleigh area, you'd have likely heard about High Horse, a restaurant from Top Chef winner Katsuji Tanabe that opened up in late 2019 at City Market. A stylish and trendy restaurant that focused on wood-fire dishes and brought a new L.A. sensibility to our food scene. However, timing is everything in life, and the ensuing COVID pandemic took out many of our local restaurants, including High Horse. Fast forward 3 years later, and Chef Tanabe is going to make a comeback with the new Averde Cucina and Tequila Library in Cary. I had a pretty good feeling of what to expect after a pop-up dinner months earlier, but was curious to see what he would do with the new space further out from downtown Raleigh. Averde is located in a busy plaza right next to popular Seoul Grill Korean barbecue restaurant. Renovated from an old Wild Wings cafe space, Averde has a somewhat utilitarian feel from the outside, along with a nice covered side patio. Inside, you'll be greeted by some hostesses up front, music leaking out from the speakers overhead, bar area with lounge to the left, and a large open dining room in front of you. There's a loud and lively feel to this space with a lot of activity and energy. Colors are predominantly spring greens and organic browns, giving the space a garden-type feel. As a more upscale Mexican restaurant, Averde has a creative and fun cocktail list, similar to High Horse. Choose from the quirky, tongue-in-cheek names like Sponsor Me, hashtag Take Me Back, alluding to Chef Tanabe's Mexican roots. But what I can tell you for sure is that his cocktails tend to lean towards fruity and aromatic, along with some visual flair. The Sponsor Me, Tanqueray, St. Elder, tequila, lime, and lavender, comes with some dry ice and bubbles like a witch's cauldron right in front of you. The hashtag Take Me Back mixes up passion fruit, tequila, sour mix, and wine float, along with a mango chile paleta dunked inside. A fun and filling cocktail. As you can guess, Chef Katsuji likes to show off a bit, as you'll find as you dine across the menu. The menu at Averde is not wildly different for a Mexican restaurant offering tacos and enchiladas, along with a handful of signature items. Given his part Asian heritage, Chef Katsuji also rolls in some Asian flavors in dishes, such as the adobo fried rice, but the menu is primarily upscale Mexican. Over the course of my visits, I had a chance to try out a fun ceviche tostada. Marinated chunks of ahi tuna, serrano chilies, and lime juice layered between two crispy tostada shells. It's a fun and substantial starter that gets your palate ready for the rest of the meal. For mains, Averde's tacos are quite good, served on thick, soft blue corn tortillas with a good selection of sauces and fillings on the side. Enjoyed their pork belly tacos, which were quite filling. On the list of showy dishes is the ribeye, shrimp, and bacon fajitas, which are spelled F-A-J-E-E-T-A-S, which are finished tableside. A large cast iron platter filled with the meats is seared with a flourish of flames and fire before serving. It's a substantial entree, but not substantially different than what's served elsewhere. Now, if you've gotten this far in the meal and still have some appetite left, you won't want to miss Averde's desserts. Inexpensively priced at under $10, choose from an ube flan, tres leches cake, and the outrageous churro with Nutella. The churros will easily serve two people and features a bowl of crisp, freshly fried churro pieces on top of a scoop of vanilla ice cream and served with a shower of Nutella strings on top. A fun finish to your meal at Averde, that's for sure. While I will certainly miss High Horse, Averde offers some similar experiences, but in a very different vibe. Given its location, Averde Cucina has more suburban feel, but also more authentic given Chef Katsuji's background. The staff wears Mexican blouses, then the decor highlights the experience as upscale Mexican, similar to what you might get at Centro in downtown Raleigh, or maybe the old Jose and Sons. That being said, I still had a bit of challenge wrapping my head around the prices for entrees at Averde's, which are on the high side. But if you enjoy higher-end Mexican eats and want some food and performance flair, you'll enjoy your meal at Averde Cucina and Tequila Library. Averde now also serves a brunch on the weekends if you want to try it outside of dinner hours. Enjoy. Averde Cucina is located at 2300 Walnut Street in Cary. Their phone number is 984-200-3469. from the News and Observer. This Charlotte-based mini food hall with bodega vibes is expanding to Durham. This is published June 28th and written by Drew Jackson. A Charlotte bodega brand is expanding to the Triangle, starting with a new location just off of Durham's 9th Street. The Common Market started in Charlotte in 2002, and over the years has grown to 4 locations, including one across the South Carolina border in Rock Hill. The brand will look to Durham for its 5th location, opening at 1821 Green Street, on a block between 9th and Broad Streets. The company bought the property in March 2021 for $860,000. Raleigh native Graham Worth is leading Common Market's Triangle expansion. It's a hybrid mix of a bottle shop, wine shop, and deli all in one, Worth said. All the markets are built around the communities we serve. They all have a unique and eclectic environment. They're all very funky and artfully put together. Everything made in-house. The Durham Common Market will move into a former one-story office building. Construction is already underway, adding a basement bar, outdoor seating, and a butterfly roof with skylights. Using the model of the New York City bodega as an example, Worth said Common Market aims to be an all-day room of requirement, stocking craft beer, snacks, and a sandwich counter with everything made in-house. The brand is looking to partner with local vendors to handle Common Market's coffee program and a possible pastry counter. The sandwich menu will likely borrow from Common Market's other locations, Worth said, with staples like pimento cheese sandwiches and a pulled chicken salad. It's kind of a mini food hall, Worth said. It's been described as a neighborhood living room. It's a place where everyone can feel comfortable with the environment. The Durham location looks to open later this fall, Worth said. Also from the News and Observer, Ricky Moore reminds the world that North Carolina Southeast is culinary powerhouse. This is published July 1st and written by Nikki Miller Kaw. There's more than meets the eye with James Beard Foundation award-winning Best Chef Southeast, Chef Ricky Moore of Saltbox Seafood Joint in Durham, North Carolina. I'm going to flip the script a little bit, and I'm going to march to my own beats, my own cadence, Moore said of his career trajectory. Moore accepted the Best Chef Award on June 13th in Chicago at the James Beard Foundation's first in-person celebration since 2019. As one of 13 black finalists for what had been dubbed the Oscars of the food world, his win helps to solidify the Southeast and North Carolina as a powerhouse in the industry. After a career cooking in the U.S. military, Moore knew he wanted to stoke his passion for cooking. His more than 30-year career has spanned the country from Arizona to Chicago, New York, and D.C. But it was the old North State that called the culinarian home. Moore started serving North Carolina seafood in a small building off Magnum Street in 2012 and turned his restaurant into a piece of cornmeal-breaded history with national recognition. In addition to his restaurant, he's filmed The Hook, a PBS documentary tracing Saltbox's fare back to the aquaculture of the North Carolina coast. He's also published a cookbook. He began Saltbox because he was tired of working for others and wanted to work for himself. I got burnt out on being executive chef here, executive chef there, Moore said. It got old to me. It got boring. I could run somebody's kitchen. I can run somebody's business. No big deal. So I told my wife, I gotta figure something out. Inspired by hawker stalls and street food in Singapore, Moore decided to turn to the fast-growing, fast-casual sector of the food industry, and the rest is history. I know if I wake up every day and do everything intentionally, my return will be there, Moore said. I feel like I've done everything I'm supposed to, and everything that's coming to me, I deserve it. From NC Triangle Dining, the Willard Rooftop Lounge in Raleigh for cocktails and the Golden Hour. This is published June 18th and written by Ron Nguyen. The Willard is located at 9 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-803-5200. When it comes to bars and lounges, I'm usually a fan of independent, slightly grungy type places. Maybe not quite divey, but a step or two up. But as the Triangle has grown and evolved, we've seen a move towards hotel bars over the last few years. In my experience, they tend to be a bit sterile and overpriced, but I'm always open to trying a new one out. Late last year, I did get an invite to the Willard Rooftop Lounge and was impressed with the space and view. I finally had a reason to go back when I had friends visiting and had an excuse for a revisit. Here's what to expect if you decide to check out the Willard Rooftop Bar and Lounge in Glenwood South. Head on over to the lower end of Glenwood Avenue and you'll find the AC Hotel. Wind yourself past the lobby and you'll find a bank of elevators, two in front for hotel guests and a third one in back for rooftop access. Pop out of the elevator to the right and you may find a hostess for busier evenings. I'm pretty certain they had reserved tables and seating for most of the patio, especially the prime spots on the south side with the fireplaces. Most of the lounge seating is first come, first served, but you won't have an open or clear view for sunsets. In the parlance of photographers, they called the lighting and time around sunset the golden hour. For food, the Willard is focused on Mediterranean small plates and the usual charcuterie, but I wouldn't plan on a meal there. The bar at the Willard is reasonably efficient, offering up smaller selections of beers, wines, and cocktails at different prices, but service will bog down come busy periods. One workaround I had during a busy visit was to just order a bottle of cava and ask for three glasses, which makes service a lot easier for the bartender and for multiple people. My recommendation is to come on a slower evening, Sunday to Wednesday, and get to the Willard about 45 minutes to an hour before sunset. The golden hour happens well before official sunset, and you'll need to arrive early for a prime spot. Overall, the Willard can be a bit sanitized given its hotel bar background. It's got some wonderful views of the Oak City and is worth a visit. I lived in this neighborhood for over 12 years and was pleasantly surprised at the view. Just arrive early and get settled in for a splash of golden hues and colors sparkled over the Raleigh skyline. The Willard is located at 9 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, and their phone number is 919-803-5200. From the News and Observer, Vivian Howard's latest project isn't a restaurant, but it might change food. This is published July 2nd, updated July 4th, and written by Drew Jackson. Quietly, a fridge dropped on Bald Head Island last month that may be a window into food's future. North Carolina chef Vivian Howard launched her latest project this past week, a refrigerator stocked with gourmet meals ready to reheat. Named Viv's Fridge, the new venture is born out of the pandemic and diners' new relationship to dinner. Howard sees a third space opening up between restaurants and the home-cooked meal. Before, you either cooked or you went out, Howard said. Now, I think we have a whole other way of eating, where restaurants pivoted to meal kits. Maybe we don't want to make a full meal, but I think we understand how to put short ribs in the oven. The first Viv's Fridge landed on Bald Head Island, set up at 6 Maritime Way. Friday, the second one went live, set up in front of Howard's flagship restaurant in Kinston, The Chef and the Farmer. A third will be up and running later this month on Emerald Isle. Each is stocked with dishes meant to feed four people, including sides for times when dinners need something to go with something off the grill, or entire meals. Prices range from $25 to $75. Dishes include tomato pies, beef short ribs, blueberry barbecue chicken enchiladas, and a slow-roasted pork shoulder taco kit. But Howard's larger vision goes beyond her restaurant group. If she adds more Viv's Fridges with her own dishes, they won't be set up outside of eastern North Carolina. Instead, she sees other chefs taking the model and making it their own. She mentioned Raleigh chef Chidi Kumar will launch a fridge of her own. It's a totally new paradigm, Howard said. It's a fun idea, and I think it's a really big idea. A chilled box accessible at all hours is technology that's been around for a while, selling soft drinks and candy bars. This isn't that, Howard said. Comparing it to a vending machine would be like comparing a flip-flop to a rocket ship. Each Viv's fridge holds about $5,000 worth of meals and sides. Customers swipe their credit card any time, day or night. The door opens and scales inside the fridge detect which items are purchased. It's definitely not a vending machine. It's a smart fridge, Howard said. It operates like a giant mini bar. It's a way of putting more handmade quality food in front of people. And last but not least, we have our Friday Fun Food Facts, published July 1st, and from the Triangle Food Blog. Another iconic Raleigh eating establishment could fall to progress and growth. Following up on the closure of the Snoopy's location at the corner of Hillsborough Street and Glenwood Avenue, the Triangle Business Journal shared this week that a planned 20-story building would result in the tearing down of the original Char Grill on Hillsborough Street that opened in 1959. That said, the development plans would allow for Char Grill to be, quote, incorporated into the new building. So get by now to the original location, but don't forget, they have 9 locations in the Triangle. Up in North Raleigh, there's a sign up at the corner at the former Me Cancun location at 6675 Falls of Neuse Road for Mariscos Altamar, Mexican Seafood Bar and Grill. They may already be open, and we will dig further into this to see what we can find. So far, we've been unable to find any online presence. In Morrisville, the old Durrani location, 1000 Lower Shiloh Way near the 54-540 interchange, has reopened under new management at Naga's South Indian Cuisine. They opened on June 10th. Beginning July 1st, they are now serving a buffet. And down in Sanford, we got word this week that Fonda Lupita has moved from 129 West Main Street into their new larger location at 1952 South Horner Boulevard. You'll remember back at the end of 2021, they were named one of the 11 best new restaurants in the U.S. by food publication Eater. Being, quote, discovered, they were forced to look for a larger space. Plans call for the original space to transition to a slightly different concept, Las Tortas by Fonda Lupita, with a focus on takeout options. Frausto is currently in the process of obtaining permits for the change. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ricky Gibbs, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Reviews is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.